Now, have we got? Have we had a chance? Are we going to get up to talk FFA Cup? Because the round of 32 continues, and you promised me Demir Kulash.
And I've delivered him, George. He's on the line right now. Our favourite all-rounder, Demir Kulash, my Mundial Memories co-host, the writer for many publications, including These Football Times, The Corner Flag, and Goal.com. Demir, how are you going?
Pretty good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good, Demir. Such has been the momentous events in Australian football, we haven't got around to discussing the FFA Cup until it's just kicked off.
But, yeah, it has literally kicked off.
But Bentley Greens versus Wellington Phoenix, we've tipped this one for a few weeks now as the potential upset. Do you agree?
The banana skin?
I think when you look at all the member federations, in NPL teams / A-League ties, this is probably the most winnable game. I mean, Wellington Phoenix are obviously quite early in their pre-season. They've also had a new coach appointment, Mark Rudin. There has been significant player turnover, and we've seen those types of conditions being helpful before in helping NPL clubs defeat A-League clubs, whether it was the first so-called cup set in 2014 with Adelaide City beating the Western Sydney Wanderers, or 2 years later with the likes of Gully and Redland United defeating the Central Coast Mariners and Adelaide United respectively to Blacktown's victory against Central Coast Mariners last year. There definitely is scope for an upset. And I must mention Heidelberg's win against Perth Glory last season. Bentley Greens, have had some passive form of late in NPL Victoria, but I think they've had one eye firmly on this fixture as a potential winnable clash. Their previous fixtures against A-League opposition haven't been fruitful. If you remember back to season one of the competition, they did lose 3-0 to the Perth Glory, but that was by the semi-final stage. So at that point, Perth were heavily in their into their pre-season. I think the A-League season had kicked off a number of weeks before that. So generally, if there's a time to do it, it is now.
Damien, can I ask you, you've watched the Cup from its inception. Is it now starting to be the national cup, the national knockout cup competition that you wanted it to be? Or would you like to see some more changes to make it even more competitive?
Look, I think that what's been prevalent in the last few years is that these NPL clubs are improving, but they are improving to a point. So when they get to the end of their seasons, when the A-League teams have either commenced their respective campaigns or are weeks away from doing so, it can be quite difficult for them to compete. You even saw last year yourself with South Melbourne's clash against Sydney FC.
Yeah.
Just how difficult it was for South Melbourne, who were, 3-4 weeks out of their regular season. It does take a toll on clubs, and I think one of the proposed changes that the FFA should look into is whether they could ensure that the final is played earlier, maybe even as a curtain raiser to the season, a week before the campaign starts. A bit similar to what we see overseas with Super Cups. Obviously, yes, that is it. It is quite difficult, and those NPL clubs do have particularly successful ones, do have quite a heavy congested calendar at that point of the year. But at the same time, I think that is one way in which I think it'll be more likely to see an NPL club reach the final, because the way that the competition is currently formatted, you're guaranteed to have one NPL club reach the semi-final, and that is a feel-good story. But by the time they do play an A-League club, they're completely spent, and the golfing class is evident.
Not only that, the players normally from the NPL club have had to come back from holidays or cut their holiday or their wedding short to actually turn up to play in the final.
Yeah, and
that's asking an awful lot, isn't it?
Yeah, and also the financial strain that it does put in a lot of clubs, because they can't afford to pay the players out of season. And one of the other things that I suppose has been mentioned before by countless coaches in the NPL is the fact that, you know, they are restricted to only 2 foreigners, 2 imports.
That's a good point.
In terms of their squad, while A-League clubs do have, what, five foreigners to choose from. So generally, you even see in these types of games, if there is a golfing class, the foreigners proliferate that. And we see that a number of teams over the years have gotten away with wins in the FA Cup against NPL opposition. This is A-League teams, by the way, thanks to their foreigners. So I think that if it were limited to two foreigners, it would make it much fairer.
Yeah, and that's well, very interesting. I like
that. A bit.
No, no, good point. The thing that I'm really excited about is that I can remember we were part of the Fox coverage when the FFA Cup was opened up and made available. We've just seen a brilliant save by the Bentley Greens keeper, and it's gone over for a corner with Wellington pressing. And these are the opening 5 minutes of this game between Wellington and Bentley Greens at Kingston Heath. But I'm just reminded once again that in the early days of the announcement, the FFA Cup, we had about 600 teams prepared to put their hand up. Now it's close to nearly 800 teams across Australia, Damir, who want to be part of the action.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you? I mean, look, what we see in terms of round of 32, we only see 22 state member federation NPL sides make it out of, what, 800 plus. But even those ones that don't make it that are playing in, you know, the lower fringes of state league football, whether it's at a state league 3, 4, 5 level, it does provide them a great incentive and also some great coverage in the early rounds. And I think that the FA Cup has done remarkably well over the past year or two in terms of promoting those early FA Cup qualifying rounds. And I know it's been a while since we saw a team do what South Springvale did in season one and really emerge out of nowhere to be on that national round of 32. I guess you could say Gwalup Croatia is the closest that we've had this season, given that they are a club from outside of Western Australia's top flight who have made an impact on the competition. But I think that it has contributed to heavier investment, heightened coverage of the NPL and the state leagues. And I think that all round, it has brought the football community closer together. But at the same time, raised to surface a lot of the pressing concerns that these clubs do have regarding the state of football in the country and where we'll be in 5-10 years' time. I think that because of the FA Cup, we have had such a growing consensus for a national second division pro rel in the future and A-League expansion, because we've seen, you know, it was only 3 years ago that we saw Heidelberg play Melbourne City Olympic Village and get a 12K crowd. Those types of scenes is something that I haven't experienced in my lifetime. And I think that, George, you would be old enough to remember Olympic Village in its heyday.
Go easy, Damir.
You're right.
I do remember. Yeah. And they were wonderful times, and they can be wonderful again. It just needs more vision. It needs a complete understanding. I want to see a real understanding from council. Because I was at Olympic Village only last week, and I sat there and I you know how you ponder with this, you know, the players get injured and you're sitting there looking. I saw the people who had turned out. It was a beautiful cold night at Olympic Village, and I thought to myself, now if a progressive council could make that a boutique stadium, or they could sell the ground to the club and let them make it a boutique stadium, and what you have then is a viable facility that can be used, you know, in 50 different ways. You don't have to hold a council back or a community back. You give them a bit of rope and you let them loose and do something super. I know it's a little too visionary perhaps for some people, but I just thought to myself, I could be sitting here and we could have a really beautiful boutique 10,000 or 12,000 stadium. And it would be magical. It would be exciting. It would be comfortable. You could bring the whole family and not only have something to eat, but sit down and have the kids mix with the rest of the family. I think it's exciting stuff.
I'm going to jump in there, Damir, before you answer.
There have been some goals,
before you comment on that one, because we have some score updates. Newcastle Jets have taken the lead away to Gold Coast Knights. Nikolai Topper-Stanley on the score sheet after 11 minutes.
Yeah, you got and a header on board.
The Tasmanians, Devonport City, have taken the lead over Northcote City. 2-0 now. Miles Barnard, the striker for Devonport, scoring twice on 12 and on 15 minutes. So they're off to a flyer over in Northcote. But Damien, what do you think about the George's proposal of getting more boutique stadiums at this level?
100% behind it. I think it was last year that you guys had, or it might have even been earlier this year, you had John Didlitzer on your show, and he did speak about that we've had sort of a generational gap in terms of the development of football stadiums across the country. And I think that is quite evident in Victoria. You look at Olympic Village, yes, there have been some upgrades done over the last decade or so, but it's minimal compared to how heavily invested a lot of other sporting facilities are across the country. And I think that you'd hope to see, particularly in Victoria, I mean, we haven't got a lot of, I suppose, boutique rectangular stadiums because they do have the advantage of a rugby league being capable of being played on them. That can house not only the home club, Heidelberg United, but it can take hosting rights for the early rounds of the FA Cup. Imagine having an entire weekend of games non-stop and the immense financial possibilities that also brings to the home club, who has invested a lot of money into improving and upgrading that stadium. I think if you look at it now, while Lakeside Stadium is still the pinnacle of Victorian State League football, I suppose you'd love to see Knight Stadium enter a new phase of redevelopment, and also a lot of the other clubs, for example, where Northcote City are playing tonight, David Barrows Stadium, I'd love to see that stand that they do have actually have seats on it. Sorry, I've just lost my train of thought. But
no, you're talking about seating at those grounds.
Can I just
interrupt you there, Damir? The thought that rushed across me while I was sitting there watching this game last week at Olympic Village was, I know there's the old running track, which was part of the Olympic Games preparation back in 1956. And everyone was telling me at the time that, you know, there are serious considerations there from the various bodies who want to retain this for posterity and all this. I'm thinking, you know what? You do a fabulous video, yeah, with all the latest technology, and you tell the story of what this ground was and what it brought and how it was used. You put that in the vault, and it can be on a loop running at the ground on the wall there for every guest who comes. And what you do is you make it a boutique stadium. You take the track away. You bring the stands, you know, right around the entire ground. And that could become another sensational facility along the lines of what they have at Lakeside. And remember, the Lakeside Stadium, they spent about $70, $80 million. Now, that money came on board because of two things, the Centre of Excellence and the fact that Athletics Victoria needed a new home close to where they were at Olympic Park because the AFL, you know, found a way to grab Olympic Park, which was, in my opinion, absolutely shocking because that was the Olympic precinct. How dare you do that? Well, they did it. And, of course, Victoria Athletics needed a new home, and that's why Lakeside came to be the platform. And it's turned out fantastically well for all involved. Could be better because you could put some more seating. I've spoken to Leo about you could put more seating behind the both goals and it'd be even more exciting. Can you imagine doing the same thing at Heidelberg Olympic Village?
Yeah, and I guess as good as Lakeside Stadium is, the one of the downsides of it is that it's not a boutique rectangular stadium that only accommodates football, in terms of you don't feel as close to the action as you would at maybe at other grounds. And I think that Heidelberg is another club where that is a problem, where the viewing experience is tempered by that fact. So I think that generally there is a great desire from all those involved at Heidelberg United and other clubs within that area to significantly improve that facility. There has been work that has taken place over the last few years to do so. But I'm in agreement with you, George, that I think that it needs to be a state-of-the-art redeveloped boutique football stadium that is able to host games year in, year out, because at the moment Heidelberg United, particularly during the course of the winter months, really does struggle to ensure that ground is up to tip-top quality. And I would like to see the same extended to Melbourne Knights and the stadium that they do have at Summer Street, and also a venue in the eastern, northeastern suburbs of Melbourne in the Veneto Club up
Veneto Club Stadium. You know, Dummy, as you were talking, I just kept thinking to myself, Summer Street, I remember taking South Melbourne to Summer Street to play an absolutely incredible, incredibly competitive game. We were down 1-0 early, then we went down 2-0 early, and then the boys came back and we won 3-2 in the last possible moment. And that can be as gripping and as exciting a venue as you want to make it. And the fans there demand a good game. They're enormously supportive. And you imagine if those facilities were to improve or be given an opportunity to improve, that kitchen down there could do roaring business more than just once a week.
Yeah, it is another common theme, I guess. If I was in the industries of someone at the Victorian government, I guess the thing that you can say to play devil's advocate, well, is there really a need to divert that much resources and money for stadiums that are at the moment in up to standard, and also that don't I guess house many attendances over the course of a campaign? But I guess all that will change if, say, clubs like Melbourne Knights, clubs like Heidelberg United, not only are regulars at the FA Cup, but also if we do get a national second division, a second tier going in the next 5 or so years that they're a part of, you'd obviously need those stadiums to be up to the quality of the 21st century now.
Absolutely.
That isn't dividing either of those two clubs, because I think that particularly when you look at Melbourne Knights and what they were able to achieve in the late 80s with the building of that stadium and how they did it, and how it was one of the first of its kind in Australian football, I think it's a remarkable achievement. But you'd hope that as time goes on, that these clubs can move forward, progress, and yes, they have been put, I guess, in a marginalised position where they are in the periphery of their existence. But at the same time, going back to what we started this conversation on, the FA Cup has given them their time in the spotlight. And wouldn't it be great if that extends onto a continuous basis across a league campaign?
Can you imagine a Mark Viduka stand?
Yeah.
At Summer Street.
Roaring like back in the old days. Yeah.
And even having Mark come in and cut the ribbon to open the stand. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah. It would be quite an achievement. I guess they already do have the stand up there and the bar that they have named after him. Of course, they did receive quite a substantial financial injection off the back of his subsequent transfers once he left the club. But overall, I think that with the FA Cup, it has ensured that these clubs, you do experience their time of relevance, and that they continue to be relevant in Australian football. And hopefully we will see more and more of them in the future with a national second division hopefully on the horizon. I know expansion has been confirmed, but there is, I guess, a heavy impetus for a market there for these clubs to be brought back into the national spotlight on a permanent basis, not on a semi-occasional, semi-regular basis like they are currently.
Well, Damir, you've given us a lot of food for thought. This FFA Cup has given us a window into football at that level, facilities and the involvement of these clubs in the Australian game. We will have to let you go, but thanks so much for joining us. Look forward to catching up with you again soon.
No worries, Josh and George. Might I also add that next Tuesday we'll be having the Mundial Memories retrospective of the 2018 World Cup, if I can give an early promotion to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't wait for that, Damir. I'll be looking forward to recording that with you next week.
No worries. See you guys.
Good on you, Damir.